I'll start that again. Sorry, I'm multitasking. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Declare Victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubbly, and I am your host this morning. Are there, by chance, any first-time callers this morning? All right, then, we're all family. Our events are as follows. This is a reminder to our production team. There will be a meeting immediately following the call this morning. If you have not joined the team but feel you have something to offer, please, in our fundraising efforts, please join the call. There are no online prayer requests, so the order of the call is as follows. Our scripture reading is by JC. Our declaration will be given by Lisa Porter. Our first prayer warrior this morning will be Brother Eric. Second prayer warrior is Sister Diane. Third prayer warrior is Sister Barbara. And closing us out today is Tiffany. I will repeat that again. The scripture will be read by JC. The declaration today is by Lisa Porter. Prayer warrior number one is Brother Eric. Prayer warrior number two is Sister Diane. Prayer warrior number three is Sister Barbara. And closing us out will be Tiffany. If you haven't already done so, please place your call on mute so we can have a clear recording. You can use your standard mute feature or you can press star six. As I prepare to pass the call, be blessed.
Good morning, everyone. I'll be reading this morning from the New Living Translation, Colossians 2, 8 through 10. Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world, and not from Christ. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in a human body, and you are complete through your union with Christ. He is the Lord over every ruler and authority in the universe. Everyone have a blessed day as I pass the call.
Amen, 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 amen. It is a good morning. It's a great morning, and I thank God for it. Good morning to you all. Thank you so much, me, Mary, for greeting everyone and for Bubbly hosting and I believe JC for that scripture. I want to go ahead and continue in what we've been requested to do, which is share with you how we do what we do or how I do what I do as far as sharing a declaration. So this will be interesting, and much of this is going to sound a little redundant because Rivonda, Tanya, and Marcus, who are awesome in declaring victory over our lives, have already shared key things that help me do what I do. So I feel those who have to follow for us, for those remaining, Ms. D, Pamela, Pastor Lavelle, they all have their own unique way as well, but you'll probably hear some similarities in how God uses us, I believe, to bring forth a message or to bring forth a share. But it's no big deal. We often say the same thing. We just phrase it differently if you think about it. Many things are shared oftentimes, and it's just the way that a person's personality or whatever it is comes across so that someone listening can tune in to that particular person's frequency. Not everybody hears everybody, you know, necessarily. We talked about not being able to stand someone's voice or whatever it is or whatever distraction there may be on that call that day. Something may hinder you from hearing, and the more that it's shared or the more that it's shared in a way that's relatable to you is a way that sometimes you can pick it up from somebody else, but it reinforces it in our hearing. And the more we hear a thing, the more we begin to settle it in our spirit. You know, like faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, whatever we hear the more of, we start to believe to an extent. So it's like having faith in that thing because we're always hearing it. So we grab hold of it. And some of us need to hear some things more times than once, you know, just for us to get it. And I do believe that we are inspired by the Holy Spirit. There is no other explanation for what takes place on this call. It has to be God moving by His Spirit. So what we do when we declare victory, it is of the utmost importance because God uses it to change lives. But it's not rocket science. It doesn't take a college degree or a high IQ. You don't have to be eloquent in speech or fluent in English, Hebrew, or the Greek languages. You don't even have to be living a perfect life. Hold on a second, though. Although we know we should be striving to perfection in Him. You don't have to have it all together. God uses or will use whomever He wants, whenever He desires, however He chooses, and whenever He sees fit. All He wants is a yes, a willing vessel. Funny thing is, even if we don't say yes or are not willing, He uses our disobedience to teach us and others watching priceless lessons. Think about the children of Israel. They lost countless battles because of their rebellion and their idol or false god worship. He used their enemies to correct them and then turned around and used their enemies that they would be blessed. That's amazing how God does that. And everybody heard of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whether they followed Him or not, they knew of who their God was. Think about Paul before he was on his Damascus Road experience. God will take the very essence of who we are and use it for His glory. Like I said, Paul, he was zealous and he was persecuting Christians, and he knew what he was talking about, and he was on fire for doing that. And when he had his encounter with God, he was turned around and changed. His personality didn't change. He just changed who he was serving. He was serving the devil. Now he's on God's side. So he was just as zealous and just as on fire winning people over to God's side, winning people for Christ. I think about myself. I used to always get in trouble in school and at home for talking too much. Imagine that. Before, God wants to take us right where we are, and that's how He can use us, the beauty of it. He does change the things that we do that are not pleasing before Him, but just the way that we are, He will take that, and He will use somebody and their own personality, and oftentimes He blows our minds because we think He can't use us. The thing is, I used to want to see people happy. That used to be a part of my people-pleaser disease. But now I want to see people whole. So it didn't change me wanting to see people grow or be blessed, and I'll get to that in a minute. So it's in Him that I live, I move, and I have my being. I finally realized that it's not in and of myself, and in and of myself I can't do anything or nothing, and I'm truly nothing without Him. And that's real talk, because I know me. I know my own issues. I know what things I deal with. I know my attitude, and I know, you know, how I have a tendency to be a little impatient. I know that about me. So my opinion, unsupported by the Word, will profit you nothing. Even with my life experiences, the Word confirms my testimonies and validates that everything I go through is specifically designed to point me in the direction of my destiny. Nothing is wasted, for I know and I'm thoroughly convinced that all things work together for my good, because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose, His plan. It's all about Him. It works out for my good, but it's for His glory. I say that all the time. That's why the basis for my declaration that I do has to point back to Him. It's the Bible. In order to do them, I continually have to silence fear, thank you, Marcus, and its ugly companions, doubt and unbelief. You know they're in cahoots with one another, right? Just like faith, hope, and love, the enemy always trying to counterfeit something. In spite of my fears, I accepted the call, simply saying yes to God. In the midst of my yes, I have to believe, realize, and do a few things to walk in and on purpose. I have to believe that God wants to use me in spite of me, not the me that I think I should be, but the right now me, right where I am, my imperfections, my flaws, my weaknesses, and all. Here's where He does His best work, because He's able to prove Himself strong in the midst of my weakness, and I don't get it twisted and think it's about me or my abilities. And I know it's Him. I realize and I'm clear that it's not about me, and what I do is a gift from God. I do believe it's a gift from God. I do believe that when we open up our mouths and we're able to share, that God has gifted us to do that. It might be on a continual basis. It might be that one moment, like the gift of healing. Anyway, I did nothing to earn it, even though I am told to exercise, perfect, stir up the gifts. I can't boast in a free gift from God. How can you take credit for something you didn't do to earn? And I definitely know it's not because I'm smart. No, not that's not it. This helps me to remain humble and not steal God's glory. The Holy Spirit, He gives us power to be a witness. And except the Lord does the drawing, people will not accept Him. They will not come into the kingdom of God, and their lives will not be changed. Some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. I'm not confused about that. I'm just glad that He chose to use me as a part of the process of someone's journey to experiencing joy unspeakable and to be able to be at peace with God, to propel people towards the direction of purpose and to be restored back into right fellowship with our Daddy. So we've all been given that charge. We've all been given that job to be ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation, to bring back, to restore people back into right relationship, right fellowship with God. Another thing I realized was who am I to withhold or deny someone from being blessed, healed, delivered, or set free through me, a vessel of honor created for God's plan and purpose? You know your gifts are not for you, right? They're specifically given to you. This is my foundation scripture, which provokes me, it really does, to open my mouth, Ephesians 4:11-12. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Also 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I chose to believe that I was called and equipped to do this, to build up and edify the body of Christ. That unbelief, it kept me silent for far too long. I wouldn't open my mouth. I wouldn't say anything. Even though I had others telling me this all along, that God was calling me and that He was going to use me and all this stuff, just like we encourage you guys all the time, nothing changed until I believed in myself. I had to believe that God handpicked me. Now I look forward to what God has for me in my life. What's next, God? How do you want to use me now, God? This year, my resolution word was intentional. I decided to be intentional, to do things with intention, expectation, and then confidence, not in myself, but in the truth that He, God, who called me, had indeed equipped me. Yes, me. Yes, you. He is able. He is faithful. He doesn't make mistakes. He knows what He's doing. He has the plan. Someone is waiting and needs to hear what God has imparted in me and in you. That helps me to stay focused on my responsibility, keeping me mindful of my motives and motivation. It gives me a desire to impart and impact those that hear, not trying to impress people, not trying to do anything that's not going to have any lasting life-changing impartation in their lives. This also frees me from the expectations of people. I'm convinced myself of my own truth. Whether people respond or say something or not, or whether I hear crickets or whether the call ends, whatever it is, I'm okay because I was obedient to say and do what God has charged me to say and do. The rest is up to Him. Remember, some water, some plant, it's God that gives the increase. So if I do what I know and believe in my heart that He has charged me to do, then the responsibility, the rest of that is on Him. I'm done. As I already mentioned, my inspiration to share, it comes from the Holy Spirit in various ways. As we've already talked about, from several sources, last week I spoke about hearing the voice of God and not always expecting Him to speak the same way all the time, taking God out of my little limited thinking box. I sometimes hear Him through what I see, and it inspires or it sparks or it identifies with something in me, just like people have already said on the previous calls. Just as the earth declares His glory, a message can often be found in the small, overlooked little details of life. Like the breath of a newborn baby can bring forth a message, or the unique, beautiful colors of a butterfly can spark something, or a rainbow, or maybe it's the uncomfortable feeling of a scorching hot summer night that might bring up something. It might be an event, it might be a holiday, it might be a tragedy, or it might be some kind of triumphant occasion. Whatever it is, it can spark a declaration. We just have to be open and in the moment not to miss it. it's been on many occasions that someone else will begin to speak on what God has already placed in my spirit or what I've written down. And again, I got to point out, there's only one Holy Spirit. He keeps us on the same accord oftentimes, carrying on a theme, because it's something that he wants us to get. So I'll try to do something else, but if God says stay right there, I'll just go ahead and say what's already been said, just in my own unique way, the way God has given it to me to say. So sometimes the conversations and the love, life, and victory, by the time it gets to me on Saturday, the conversations, they dance all around the middle of what I want to say. And I'm sitting at work, because I can't speak many times at work, and I'm on mute saying, no, don't go there, don't go down that road. And then we go down that road, and I'm like, oh, man. Oh, well. Your comments, you know, when you make comments, you think your voice is not important, but when you make comments, I don't know if anybody else that writes declarations, but they can probably share this. Your comments, they also help us to add something maybe that we didn't even consider, and it provokes us, or it provokes me, to study, to find scriptures. Remember my basis, to find scriptures that support what's being said. It's amazing, because I love doing what God has given me the ability to do, and I didn't even realize that I loved it until I began to do it. How many things do we miss out on because we do not step out, because we do not get past that fear, doubt, and unbelief? So let me give you a few specifics, just some practical things that I do. And like I said, you've heard some of these before. First of all, we have to absolutely study. We got to study to show ourselves approved unto God and not unto man. We're not doing this for man. Man is the ultimate, because that's who God's target is. But we do it because God has asked us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And if we do this, we won't be ashamed. That used to be one of my big issues about shaming myself. Well, if we study, then we won't be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we must pursue something on the inside of us for the Holy Spirit to draw out of us. He said, the Spirit of truth, that he will bring all things to our remembrance. Remembrance, redo again, bring back what's already there. Our part is to put it in us. He will draw it out of us. Do the work. Know what you know. I'm often thinking of that story about Tim and his friend, how she got up to speak, but she was telling her story and she didn't remember her own story. Become the expert in that area, or at least sound like it. You don't have to know everything and be all exhaustive with it. People don't know you don't just learn the information on yesterday. People don't know you just figured it out, that God just imparted that into you, and that he just inspired you to share that. And if it's God ordained and God inspired, he'll give you exactly what you need to be able to share. And then one of my pastors told me this, and it made so much sense to me, and he told this to a bunch of others. He said, the rate of exchange between studying and presenting is not there. It's not an even exchange, meaning the amount of time it takes to prepare or share can be hours. Like sometimes I'll do a couple of hours on different days, so it can take hours just to present something for 15 or 20 minutes. And then other times, which is rarely the occasion for me, it could be a few minutes. Dion said a few minutes before when she found out she had to do it, but that's being ready. But that's because there's something in her, there's something in us, there's something in you that God can pull out. We think we're not ready, but your experiences in your life and having been on this call for longer than 15 minutes, like Ms. D said, will show you that there's something in you that God has placed, and you didn't even know that it stuck until you are able to bring it up and then like regurgitate it or speak it out. Because of my own A-type personality, but more importantly, my desire not to teach an error, I study. But I'm telling you, don't overthink it. The enemy of good is better. In an attempt to try to make things better, I do too much and I add too much, and I could have sat it down when it was fine before, but I'll go back and I'll tweak it and I'll cross this out and I'll write that down. It's a little time-consuming. Some tools that I use the Bible Dictionary. I use the regular Webster Dictionary. I Google some things, but you got to be careful with Google. I use strong concordances, and I use other commentary. I like to read, but I don't love to read, but studying makes me read. You have to read to be able to study, or you can listen to it if you have that kind of smartphone. Here's a side note. If you are giving a definition from a word from the Bible and you're using it in a biblical context, Webster is not always the best dictionary to use. There are often different meanings between the Bible dictionary and what the Word of God had intended and what Webster speaks as far as the definition of that word. That's just a side note. So that was the first one, study. Two, believe that it's in you. Marcus did a declaration. I wanted to share about that, and he didn't. I was like, oh, well, he covered that. But it's already in you, all that you need. If he, God, called you, and he has equipped you, given us everything that we need that pertains to this life and godliness. Three, you can do it. Somebody else did that declaration. I'll never forget, I was sitting at home, and I was like, oh, I want to share that Mary Mary song. And Lady Cindy, she just came out and said, you don't love God? I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? I was like, oh, I wanted to do that. Amen. I was so glad she did it, though. Amen. I just got off track. Anyway, number three, you can do it. No matter what, good or seemingly bad, that God is real. Know that. He is faithful. He is sovereign. He's in control. He is able. Therefore, I am able. I am able to do everything that he has called me to do. You are able to do everything that he has called you to do. You can do all things through the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you strength. Four, just like in English writing class, the main parts of a story has three components, an intro, a body, and a conclusion. And Tanya spoke about that. I believe she touched on that a little bit on Thursday. I try to make sure that my stories have three R's, that they're real, that I'm transparent, that I'm telling my own truth to the best of my ability at that point to share, that it's relevant, that is what's happening now, and does it matter, and do people care about it, and that it's relatable. Can people see themselves or find themselves inside of it? Dion touched a little bit on that yesterday in our share. It's amazing how if people are not in tuned or not listening to, maybe sometimes they can tune out because they might think it might not apply. But just hold on. You may need it one day. I'm not always engaged necessarily in conversations of marriage because that's not my situation right now. But it doesn't mean that I totally turn it out because there's things I need to learn because I do desire to be married one day. Moving on. Five. Sandwich what you have to say. The word is sharp. It cuts. Some people like to use little jokes, and I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying it just helps. Start with the good. Look at Jesus, how he spoke to the churches in the book of Revelation. He spoke about what they were doing right and how, you know, he was proud of them or to the extent commended them for what they're doing. And then he turned around and he said, but I have a few things against you. I have some aughts against you. We got to present the problem, the issue, which really is sin. Where are we missing the mark? And then don't take responsibility for the word offending or cutting. It's offensive to those who live contrary to it. That's what the word says. So we just have to make sure that we speak the truth in love and know when to speak it if God has given it to you. The right word at the wrong time can be a problem. It could kill somebody because the letter of the law could kill. So we're not talking about the law. We're talking about grace. So then after they swallow that pill, you got to leave them with hope in God who is able to deliver us and them from wherever situation or predicament that they might find themselves in. And this is the part where Tanya mentioned yesterday where you point them back to the cross. You have to point them back to Jesus because he's the one that's able to deliver us and get us free. He was the one, he should be the one when we're sharing, even if it's our own personal testimonies, how he did it. That's how we leave on that high note, because he is able. And if he hadn't yet delivered, we are still standing in faith knowing that he will. But if he doesn't, it's his will, but he can, and we trust him. Stick to the script. I have a problem with this. I can get on a tangent and not speak what God has instructed and entrusted me to deliver. We got to remember that we're just mail carriers. We're messengers. When we say yes, it's to his agenda. It's not to my own plan or my own platform or my own chance to throw darts at somebody when I get the mic, or it's none of that. It's about him. Now, some people might think you throwing darts at them because, like I said, the word cuts, but we don't use that as a platform to talk about people's issues. If we're going to talk about somebody's issues, it's got to be ours, and it's going to hit people because we're all human. Next, my first draft, and there sometimes are many, it's almost done. Most of it's done on my smartphone in the notes section. It's awesome because I can just jot down notes or I can speak into that microphone anywhere and any time, reminding me of what Marcus was saying about Brother Crouch, Andre Crouch, who used to write down on note papers and came up with songs. It's amazing what you can write down on that smartphone, and then turn around, and after I have the declaration, I'll get to that. Next one, flow. I reread my share out loud at least 2 times to check the flow, just to see how it sounds and listen to it on my smartphone, and that's what I was going to say. I can play back on my smartphone, highlight it, and hear how it sounds. How does it sound to me? You can probably tell if I get a chance to not go back over it and marinate on it, because I might stumble over my words in certain areas, or I might miss something, or whatever it is. Sometimes you can tell. This just helps me to be more comfortable with what I have to share, and it just solidifies it, makes it more familiar, because it came out of me, yes, inspired by God, but it just lets it resonate in my own hearing. And here's a side note. Even though I read what I've written, I am open to the Holy Spirit to drop nuggets in my spirit that emphasize a point that I'm trying to make or present. And sometimes I pause, and you might think it's a Selah moment, but I'm really just trying to find my place. If I'm on my computer, I'm trying to find my mouse back to where I was before I got to that little nugget that the Holy Spirit dropped, or if I'm writing it on paper, which I do sometimes, and print it out, which my printer is messed up now, so I use my phone sometimes to read it, just different devices. I'll keep my finger there on that page so I don't lose my place, because if you get off on a tangent or if you go off where the Holy Spirit is leading and you want to be able to come back so people can follow you, I use that mouse and I use my finger. And then also a few times he's totally flipped the script and I changed directions, and I've just stopped reading what I've written and just believe what he has dropped or deposited in me to speak. So it's not always what I write is exactly what I share. So it's something, if you were to go back and read it or even go back and listen to it, you would see that there's sometimes different things. Then watch your voice tone. Avoid being monotone or flat. If we're not excited about what we're sharing, how can we expect others to be excited about it? And even if we're not excited necessarily or an excitable person, at least we can try to sound like it. We could do that. Make it believable. That's how we persuade people. Paul had preached and ministered to Felix, I believe it was, so strong and so tight. He said, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." A single, flat, steady tone can lull people to sleep. I remember one time Dion had to call me on that when I first started. It's really hard, really, to kind of stay on point when you got your nerves and all that other stuff going on. But imagine that, a dull, flat voice, especially on a Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Man, we're going to lose some people. We've heard Darth Vader sleeping sometimes and snoring, but it's all good. Watch your speed and your cadence. Sometimes I get excited, so excited, and she would text me and say, "Slow down." Amen. Later she would talk to me about it, and, I totally understand it, and I realize that I still get excited, and sometimes I could just go. But really, you want to give people time to process what you said. If you keep slamming out truth to them, or you keep throwing out nuggets, or you keep throwing out aha moments to people while they're trying to process what you just said, you can wear people out. It can be hard to keep up with you. People can sometimes just be like, forget it, and tune out. And it's not intentional, but that's sometimes I think how the brain might work. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. We're often first partakers of what we share. Know this. Right before I went through my whole mouth ordeal or my dental ordeal, my declaration that Saturday was thank you. So in everything, give thanks. Really? So now here's my opportunity. Either it comes before, it's during, or it's after. Here's my opportunity to go through, like, some of the worst pain I've experienced, and still say thank you. So it's got to be livable. It's got to be real to us, what we're talking about. I can't share anything with you that I don't believe or is yet believing or yet being worked out in my life. And know that there will be opposition to you going forth. I remember when I got the phone call right after my surgery, my oral surgery, I got the phone call from one of our pastors to telling me that I was scheduled to preach or minister, excuse me, a minister at our church that following Sunday or two Sundays from that. So it was like a week and 2 days at both services. And for some of you, that might not be a big deal, but I have never stood before our congregation before, and we have like over 6,500 members. So it's a pretty big deal to me. It was like, and unlike, you know, Sister Tanya and Brother Marcus, I would rather share on the telephone. That's why everybody's different. I would rather share on the phone, and I think maybe it's because of their church exposure, and they were always before people leading the choir and doing whatever they were doing up front in church. I didn't really have that experience. But that scripture that Marcus mentioned on the other day, yesterday, it helps me tremendously because I have to keep telling myself not to fear their faces. And God really stuck that in me before I even realized what he was saying about that, but I knew he was calling me to something. So I'm not too concerned about seeing their faces because I'm nearsighted. So I really can't see the fine details of people's faces far away anyway. I'm more self-conscious of how they see me. And that speaks to that low self-esteem person that I used to be, that insecurity about not feeling capable or qualified and thinking that I wasn't enough. And now I have to fight against that, reminding myself that it's God that called me. It's God that validates me. It's God that confirms me. You have to tell yourself it's you that's been called by God. He's equipped you. He has validated you. He has confirmed you. You do not need confirmation from man. And then be kind to yourself. Don't be too critical or cynical about what you share, especially when you first start. We're our own worst critics. Just don't quit. It'll get better. I promise it'll get better. There's always something that we can improve on. I think Tanya mentioned this too. Be willing to grow. I'm always willing to grow. I love to learn, and then I love to share what I've learned. And then don't forget that there's reaping and sowing. Encourage and speak well of others. You'll find that others will do the same for you. Make a comment. Say something. Share. On the morning when you get on, say hello. And you might say, nobody's saying hello to me. Keep saying hello. In order to have friends, we got to find ourselves friendly. We got to do unto others as we would have them do unto ourselves. Bottom line, we need each other. We're stronger together. And guess what? You all make me better. You all absolutely make me better as I pass the call to Brother Eric.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for today, Lord. This is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for the Sabbath, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to the land of the living once again, Lord. And not just for anything, just to be here all willy-nilly, Lord, but that you revive us, Lord, with a purpose. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you remind us, Lord, to go forth into that purpose, Lord, baptizing the nations, teaching the nations, Lord. Starting right here, Lord, I lift up every person on the Declare Victory family. I love my family, Lord, but I know that you love them many more, Lord, many even more than I could ever, Lord. Lord, I understand and I recognize, Lord, that each person on this line has been given a gift, Lord, has been given a calling, Lord, on their lives, Lord. Help us to recognize that calling, Lord, and to go forth, Lord, on this line, Lord, so that it may grow, so that it may go forth, Lord. Even as the disciples went forth, Lord, from 12 to 120, Lord, to thousands. Lord, I see that being foretold once again to declare victory, Lord. So, Lord, give us a love, Lord, for your work, Lord. Whether it's just saying hello, Lord, let us begin to say that, Lord, and move us towards scriptures, Lord, and towards being a person who prays on the line, to a person who's declaring, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a greeting today, Lord. I thank you for the awesome declaration that Sister Porter gave, Lord. How she just broke it down, Lord, and how you've been pouring into our spirits certain techniques and certain ways, Lord, of how to share, how to declare life, Lord, so that we may go out, Lord, and declare victory and declare life, Lord, to others, Lord. Lord, we lift up, Lord, the young man, Lord, Brother Terrell, Lord, who right now may be thinking that his whole world is crushed, and, Lord, that is no hope, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you reach out and you touch him, Lord, and you strengthen his family, Lord. Lord, we believe, Lord, that you're God and who can heal, Lord, according to your will, Lord. But let him know, Lord, that this is not the end. that you still have a purpose on his life, that you still have a role that he needs to go forth and travel, Lord. And so, Lord, speak to his heart right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for each and every request, Lord. We thank you for the praise reports, Lord, of Sister Herbert, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are God who's still in the miracle business, Lord, that you remove from her cancer, Lord, and from those, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice with her, Lord, as she rejoices with her family, Lord. Lord, I don't remember all of the requests, Lord, but you do. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you will meet every need right here and right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I ask that you will cover every marriage, every family with the blood, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you give us a desire in our heart, Lord, to go on and to tell the message, Lord, to a dark and sinless world, Lord. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would give us the desire, Lord, to be the message, Lord, and all that we do, Lord, as we minister to those who are the least and the lonely and the left out and the last and the lost, Lord, that the message would go forth, Lord. Lord, before I go, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would forgive us, Lord, of all of our sins and our shortcomings, Lord, the sins that we have accrued during this week, Lord, whether intentional or unintentional, Lord. Wipe us clean, Lord, creating us a new heart and a right spirit, Lord, just for today, Lord. Because this is all we have right now, Lord. So let us go forth, Lord, not of our own power, Lord, but knowing that you are the shepherd, Lord, and we are the sheep in your pasture, Lord, that you have made us and not we are of ourselves, Lord. Let us go forth, Lord, with an air of love, Lord, and obedience today, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for grace and mercy that empowers us, Lord, right now, Lord, that goes before us, Lord, that follows us, Lord, that propels us, Lord, knowing, Lord, that we have been redeemed, that we have changed individuals, Lord, that we have not just been freed, Lord, from the penalty, Lord, from the power of sin. So let us go forth in that authority, Lord. Holy Spirit, breathe on each and every person right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we praise you today, Lord. We lift you up on this Saturday morning, Lord. Let us, Lord, go forth, Lord, resting in your peace, Lord. As Misty says, Lord, let us dance in the palm of the hand of the almighty and ever-loving God, Lord. Let us go, Lord. Let us go onto the wall, Lord. Let us go, Lord, into the ghettos, Lord. Let us go into the alleyways, Lord. Let us go, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you will put words in our mouth, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would empower us and embolden us, Lord, to stand before kings, before presidents, before prime ministers, before despots and dictators, Lord. Wherever you may lead, Lord, let us follow. Prepare our hearts today, Lord, for tribulations, for trials. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to accept our triumphs, Lord, knowing that each and every experience, each and every minute that we live is a learning experience, Lord, is an opportunity, Lord, for our jobs, Lord, to be the Jesus that somebody needs to see, Lord, to be the word that somebody needs to hear. And in all things, Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, Lord. We say yes to your will and yes to your way. Right here, right now, we surrender to the Almighty God. We love you today. Unite us as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In all blessings, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And that's our pastor call.
Father God, we thank you for watching over us another day, another night as we rested. Oh God, I thank you for your unconditional love. I thank you for each and every one on this call, oh God. I look up beyond the visionary, oh God. I thank you for her obedience, for answering your call, oh God, to bring this call to pass. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over her children, her mother, her grandmother. God, bless them and bless them indeed. God, meet their every need, not lacking anything, oh God. God, you said you've given us everything to sustain life. Let us take hold of it, oh God, and walk it out in our salvation. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you this morning for me, Mary, for greeting, for Bubbly, Deborah, for hosting. I thank you for the scripture in Colossians. And I thank you for Lisa for that declaration, oh God. Father God, I just thank you for life today, for being able to breathe, oh God. God, anything within me, oh God, that's not pleasing in our sight, God, I ask that you remove it right now in the name of Jesus, that there will be no hindrance in me, no hindrance in my relationship with you, no hindrance in you hearing my prayers this morning as I intercede on behalf of others, those on this call, families that are connected. Oh God, I give your name the praise today. I thank you for using me as a willing vessel this morning, oh God. I bless your name and I give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Oh, God, as I come interceding this morning, Father God, give our children an ear to hear what thus says the Lord, to discern between right and wrong. Oh, God, I pray that you will put a hunger for righteousness in them. God, you said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Oh, God, I pray for your protection over them. Bless them in their going and their coming, oh, God. Bless them in their uprising and their downsetting as they go to and from school. Lord, just walking about. Bless them. Cover them with your shield of protection, oh, God. Place your shield of angels around them. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. For you said children are a blessing for God. God, let us teach them your morals, that they will know how to conduct their lives, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to forgive those who hurt us, oh God. Help us to show kindness in our word and deed to all those who are unkind to us. Father God, if we don't forgive others, oh God, our fellowship with you will suffer. Oh God, help us to forgive as you have forgiven us, oh God. Father God, we can't move forward if we don't forgive. God, I thank you for forgiveness, for forgiving us, oh God, our sins. Father God, in the name of Jesus, today let us put on the belt of truth, oh God, as the foundation for our lives, for our homes, and for our loved ones. May the breastplate of righteousness be ours in a home, that we may have a righteous home, that we may not be perfect, oh God, but we are making it, you're making us more and more like you each day, oh God. I thank you, oh Lord. Lord, the foundation of a healthy marriage is love, and love holds everything together. None of us are perfect, oh God, but we look to you to perfect in us our marriage, perfecting our marriage, perfecting our communication, perfecting our love for one another, perfecting our imperfection, oh God. Help us to view each other through kind, loving eyes in Jesus' name. Father God, as you bring our marriage to perfection in you, oh God, help us to reflect in you our marriages, oh God, that it will mirror those things of you. Father God, I thank you today for our unsaved loved ones. God, help us to live before them as in you, oh God. Those things in you, let us walk it out in our salvation. Let our conduct mirror you, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to be pleasing unto you today. God, help us live a life that's pleasing in thy sight, oh God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all those who had prayer requests this morning. Kendra, for Cheryl, God, I don't remember what the prayer request was, but God, you know what it is. God, just bless her and bless her indeed. Father God, I pray over Lynette Jones, who lost her mother, oh God. God, you said, surely our grief himself bore, you yourself bore our sorrows, and carried our grief, oh God, because you know how it is, oh God, to carry grief. But Father God, you laid down
your only begotten Son, that he may lay his life down, oh God, for us, oh God, that we may live. And Father God, for all those who have lost loved ones, God, we pray that you comfort them today. For you said those who mourn shall be comforted. Oh God, and I pray for Phyllis Jenkins, who's in the hospital. God, bless her and bless her indeed. Whatever is going on, God, be the doctor in the hospital room. God, bring healing into her body. Bring healing for Sister Julia, Lord God, for she's in great pain, oh God. Seize her pain, oh God. And I pray for Loretta and Raymond Grant, Lord God, as they go through life challenges. I pray over Loretta, Lord God, for the aneurysm that she had, oh God. Oh God, I pray that you bless the doctors as they have to go back in, oh God, to infill her skull, oh God, to relieve the pressure. Father God, in the name of Jesus, and I pray over Raymond Grant as he suffered with Alzheimer's. God, bless them and bless them indeed. Now, God, I pray over our marriages, oh God. Bless each and every marriage that I call out, oh God. I pray that you bless Will and Carol Walker, Derek and Erica Evans, Kevin and Gwendolyn James, Horatio and Florence Jones, Rosia and Lynette Evans, Andre and Tracy Beasley, Kevin and Lizette Richardson, P.A. and Yvette West, Robert and Cynthia Lawson, Joel and Betty Clifton, Leonard and Diane Matthews, Pierre and Lisa Crawford, Vaseline and Draco Tucker, David and Stacy Robinson, Jay and Kimberly Sweet, Kimball and Adrian Phillips, Steve and Sandra James, Michael and Marilyn Michaud, Steve and Tanisha Pettis Thomas, Billy and Valencia, Curtis and Sherry Martin, Prentice and Felicia Barrett, Eric and Juliet, Jeff and Patrice Vicker, Wayne and Barbara Cockrell, Troy and Monique, Travis and Clara Jenkins, Wayne and Diane Templeton, Dan and Denise, Lonnie and Denise Smith, Fred and Valerie Simpson, Brian and Tina Hurd, Andrew and Tina Hurd, Andrew, Carl and Tanya Alexander, LaJuan and Mary, Jeremiah and his wife, Rick and Susie Womack, Maddie and Dee Dee Felder, Ron and Tracy, Claudio and Moni Ramirez, Rick and Carol, William and Tiffany Alone. Will someone please mute their phone? Carl and Kathy Smith, Ken and Bertha Clark, Oliver and Portia Norwood, Archie and Alicia Hart, Robert and Michelle Nelson, Eddie and Sharon Harris, Joel and Kamani Quillen, Thornton and Carolyn Dow, Scotty and Sherelle Gayhart, Rama and Sandra Gayhart, Edward and Gwen White, Cleveland and Leah, Samuel and Aurelia Morgan, Todd and Gina Davis. God, each marriage that I called out and each marriage that I did not call out, Lord, that's not on this list, oh, God, I pray that you bless every marriage. For, God, you are the God who ordained marriage. You are the God who set the rules and regulations for marriage. God, you are love, and let us have love in our marriage, for love is what holds it all together. Father God, we give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that I lift these prayers to you today as I pass the call. Amen.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you once again, Lord, this morning, just thanking you, Father, thanking you for allowing us to wake up and see another day, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would forgive me of any sins that I've committed, Father, knowing or unknowing by thought, word, or deed, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I put on the whole armor of God, that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For I wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore I take upon myself the whole armor of God, that I may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, I stand therefore having my loins girded about with truth, your word, Lord, which is truth. Contain all the weapons of my warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Jesus. I have on the breastplate of righteousness, which is faith and love. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Jesus Christ, I have peace and pursue peace with all men. I am a minister of reconciliation, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. I take the shield of faith, wherewith I am able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, the helm of the salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the face of all trials, tests, temptations, and tribulations, I cut to pieces the snare of the enemy by speaking the word of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Thank you, Father, for the armor. I will pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, I will keep alert, interceding on the behalf of all saints. My power and ability and sufficiency are from God, who has qualified me as a minister and a dispenser of a new covenant of salvation through Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, I just praise your name this morning, Lord. I just thank you. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. I just lift up everyone under the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, thanking you for the good and thanking you for the bad, Lord, which we know that there's a lesson in it for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I lift up our churches to you this morning, Lord, asking you, Father, to bless each church that is open in your name, Lord Jesus. I lift up our cities to you, Lord, Oakland, Chicago, El Sobrani, El Cerrito, Hercules, New York, Georgia. I just lift up the United States to you, Lord, thanking you for this great country, Lord. That's your country, Lord Jesus. Father, I lift up our legislation to you, Lord, asking you to continue to lead our government, Lord Jesus. I lift up our local government, our mayors and our governors, Lord Jesus. I lift up our military to you, Lord, thanking you for them, Lord. I ask you to continue to protect them, Lord, as we go about what we need to do, Lord Jesus. I lift up our firemen and our policemen and our teachers, Lord Jesus, thanking you for them, Lord. I lift up our president and his cabinet and his family, Lord Jesus, asking you to continue to bless and guide as only you can guide us, Lord Jesus. For, Lord, without you, we can't make it, Lord. Lord, I lift up our pastors to you, Bishop Bob Jackson, Pastor Kevin Hope, Pastor Ricky L. Nutt, Pastor Ricky J. Nutt, Pastor George Brown, Pastor Mary Strutz, Pastor Gary Matara, Pastor David Folso, Pastor William Coleman, Pastor Derry and Tammy Moulton, Pastor Bessie Sims, Pastor Ricky Williams, Pastor Lloyd Farr, Pastor Patrick Foster, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Ken Foreman, Pastor Kurt Foreman, Dr. David and Kathy Castrianti, Pastor Terrence Nichols, Pastor Stan Martin, Overseer Jeremiah Martin, Pastor Kevin B. Hall, Pastor Isaac Neal, Pastor Don T. Jones, Pastor Jan Hunter Sr., Pastor Tamara Bennett, Pastor C.L. Willis, Bishop Lauren E. Moran, Mann, Pastor E.F. Brown, Apostle D. Christmas, Bishop J.W. Macklin, Pastor Steve Thorner, Pastor Renee Winston, Bishop D.J. Williams, Pastor Kirkland Smith, Pastor Joe Knowles, Pastor Archie Levias Sr., Pastor Archie Levias Jr., Pastor Claudel Huey, Pastor James Bryant, Pastor Takoy Porter, Pastor Ellington Porter, Pastor Kevin James, Pastor Lavelle Jones, Bishop Reams, Pastor Brendan and Marie Reams, Pastor Freddie and Dieta Parham, Pastor Oscar Dance, Pastor J. R. Coleman, Pastor Johnny Riley, Pastor E. K. Dawson, Pastor Aaron Hutchison, Pastor Michael E. Hale, Pastor Aurelius Walker, all the pastors in Las Vegas and Reno, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. Pastor Dave Early, Pastor Lester L. Cannon Sr., Pastor C. Christopher Smith, Pastor Santos Howard, Pastor Glenn Bataro, Pastor James Kimbrough, Pastor Craig Dorman, Dossman, Pastor Carlton Lennard, Bishop Charles E. Blake, Pastor Patrick Weaver, Pastor Davis Burris, Pastor Leonard Dew Sr., Pastor James Brompton, Pastor Horacio Jones, Pastor Timmy Dupree, Pastor Brian Holloway, Pastor Frank Dance, Pastor Audrey Williams, Pastor Kevin McCullough, Pastor Dave Jackson, Bishop Sean Teal, Pastor O'Neill Young, Pastor Curtis Robinson, Pastor Shelley Wilson, Pastor Victor S. Bryce, Minister Marcus Dyson, Pastor Paulette Harper, Apostle Valeria Oliver, Pastor Karen Burkhalter, Pastor Benson, Pastor Gort. Heavenly Father, I lift up all of these pastors to you, Father, just thanking you for them, Lord, asking you, Father, to continue to strengthen their mind, Lord. Continue to anoint them, Lord Jesus. Continue to help them to lead the flocks, Lord. Lord, I just thank you this morning. I praise your name, Lord. I magnify your name this morning, Lord. Father, I pray for all saints everywhere. Help us remain teachable that we may receive instructions from the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. We will be your children, equipped for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Bring us to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, there is now no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Lord. Grant us the grace to live the life of the Spirit. Father, you condemn sin in the flesh of its power over us, Lord. Now the righteous and just require of the law is fully met in us who live and move in the way of the Spirit. Our lives governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We purpose to live according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. We set our minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. We are no longer to live the life of the flesh. We live the life of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, really dwelling within us, directing and controlling us, Lord Jesus. On the authority of your word, we declare that we are more than conquerors, are in gaining and suppressing victory through Jesus who loves us. We refuse to let ourselves be overcome with evil, but we will be overcome and master evil with good, Lord Jesus. We have on the full armor of light clothes with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make our provisions for indulging the Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May we always be doers of God's word. We have God's wisdom, and we draw it forth with prayer. We are peace-loving, full of compassion and good fruits. We are free from doubt, wavering, and insecurity. We are subject to God, our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Therefore, we take our stand against the devil and resist him. He will flee from us. We draw closer to God, and God draws closer to us. We do not fear, for God never leaves us. Never leaves us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Christ, we are filled with the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our Lord. Father, I just praise you this morning and thank you, Lord Jesus. You're such a mighty Savior, Lord. I just ask these things in Jesus' name as I pass the call.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Glorious God, we just thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to see another day. Lord, we thank you for your covering on last night as we slept, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that no hurt, harm, or danger came our way, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you woke us up early this morning, Heavenly Father, to come before your throne boldly, Lord, giving you thanks, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have blessed us to see this day, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your protection, Lord. We thank you for shelter, Lord, for the covering over our heads, Lord. We thank you for the food on our tables, Lord, Jesus, the clothes on our back, Lord. We thank you for our health and our strength, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for the declaration that was brought forth this morning, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Lord, for the gift that you have given us, our voice, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged and determined and strengthened to use our voice, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God. We just pray and ask that you will stir up the gifts that you have blessed us with, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, for your people. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come before you this morning, dear Lord, with our prayer requests. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can come interceding on behalf of your people, Heavenly Father, Lord, who have needs, Lord, who have wants and desires, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that we can come before you, Heavenly Father, asking and believing and receiving and standing on your promises, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, God, who gave us the ultimate gift, who gave us the life, Heavenly Father, from a life of condemnation. He took that away from us, Heavenly Father, and we stand in the righteousness of him. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We come before you, Lord, thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are an awesome God who hears us, who fights for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have us in the palm of your hand, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us and guiding us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are helping us to carry out the plans that you have for our lives, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that even when we go off track, dear Lord, that we know that we can come running back to you and that we can stand boldly before you, Heavenly Father, and we can keep moving and we can keep pressing forward, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. Your name is above all names, Lord God. You are the authority. You are the head of our lives. You are the beginning and the end. You are bigger, Lord, than every situation, every circumstance, Lord, that we are going through. Heavenly Father, what a joy. What a wonderful thing to know, dear Lord, that you have it all under control, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, and we thank you for the joy that you have given us, dear Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even though life gets hard, dear Lord, that you are there for us, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. We just bless you, Lord, and we just come to you, dear Lord, just falling before you, Lord, just asking of you, Lord, that you would just help us to continue on this journey, on this fight, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we just pray, dear Lord, for those, Heavenly Father, who don't know you, dear Lord. Dear Lord, just help us to go out and teach the dying world. Let them know about you, Heavenly Father, what an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father, that you have an answer, dear Lord, to every situation that we are going through, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you are graceful and you are merciful, Father. You are a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, you are our peacemaker, dear Lord. You are our healer. You are our provider. You are our protector, Lord. We just love you and we just thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just lift up to you our families, Heavenly Father, our children, Heavenly Father, our homes. We just surrender our lives to you, Heavenly Father. We just release anything that is not of you, Father God, and we give it over to you, Heavenly Father, because we don't have the ability or the strength to fix ourselves and fix our problems, Heavenly Father. Only you can do that, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, we just release it all to you, Heavenly Father. We just lift up our family. We lift up this country. We lift up this world and our leaders, Heavenly Father. And, dear Lord, we just pray that the people who are leading this world, dear Lord, that you will just speak to their heart and that you will guide them, dear Lord, and to know that we are all in this together, Heavenly Father, and we need you today, Lord. We need you more than ever, Heavenly Father. We just thank you that our spirits are renewed each and every morning, that we are allowed to be here and allowed to get on the call, Heavenly Father. I just thank you for all of the words, all of the encouragement, all of the lessons that are learned on this call, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that each day that we are just growing better and better and better. And know that we may not be perfect, dear Lord. We just thank you that each day you give us breath and we are striving, Heavenly Father, striving to live out the plans you have for us. Lord, how we bless you, how we adore you, how we thank you. And we just pray, dear Lord, that we, as we go through this day, that you will bless our coming and our going, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us wherever we're doing, wherever we're going, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us, Heavenly Father, and that you will keep us safe, Heavenly Father, and that you will help us to go out and do what is needed, Heavenly Father, in this world, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We just bless you, and we just honor you, Heavenly Father. And, Lord, as we begin to take our focus off of you, Heavenly Father, we just want to give you the honor and the praises, Heavenly Father, that you deserve, Heavenly Father. We just want to thank you, Lord, that you have overcome the world, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that
thank
even
you,
though
Lord
we have
Jesus.
Trials and we have tribulations, Lord,
another day, Lord
we
God.
Know that you
thank
have
you. Praise you, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly
thank
Father.
You, Lord God.
We will rejoice
hallelujah.
In you. You are worthy and you are mighty, Heavenly
breath
Father.
Of life,
thank
Lord God.
You, Lord, that, no weapon,
that flows
Lord,
through our lungs, Lord God.
Thank
we
Lord,
thank you, Lord God.
We are and
for the ability,
alive.
Lord God,
Lord,
to breathe, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord God.
Lord,
touch those, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Today,
hallelujah. Touch those, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. The hands, Lord God. Hallelujah. The burnt patterns, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch them, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God. We thank you. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Anger, wrath,
Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are able to breathe, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
And a man, and a man, and a man, and a man, and a every prayer this morning, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for every prayer this morning, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for speaking into our spirit this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the desire, Lord God, to be kept, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord God. We reverence you, Lord. We hallelujah. We send up praises to you this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. We send up praises to you this morning, Lord God. We cry out to you, Lord God. We cry out to you, Lord God. And we say thank you, Lord God. Because you first loved us, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for our blessed Savior, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for our blessed Savior, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for the finished work of the cross, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, oh Jesus. Hallelujah.
That we will believe every
word.
that you are God, like I'm alive in our lives.
Hallelujah.
That we stand on your rock, God.
Hallelujah.
And that is for us, God.
Hallelujah.
Intimately, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
All the answers, Lord. You have all
thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's you that called us, God. Confirmed us, God. Affirmed us, God.
You
alone, God.
Jesus.
Thank you, God, that you validated us, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, God.
Oh, hallelujah.
For your glory and your honor, God, that you've chosen us, God.
Jesus.
Thank you, God.
You
could have left us where we were, God. Oh, but God, for whatever reason, what is man that you're mindful of us, God?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And the Son of Man that you even visited us, God, you laid down your life
minds,
for us, God.
God.
Thank
you,
we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God.
There's none like you, oh God. There is none
for healing
like
in our
you,
bodies,
oh God.
Lord God.
God, we laid out everything.
We thank you, Lord God, for the cleansing
fear,
and the purging,
God,
Lord God.
Our unbelief, God.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord God.
We want to please you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We want to
be
right. We want to be right and want to overcome.
Yes, Lord.
And thank
you,
glory
Jesus.
And honor, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
Thank you, merciful
Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord, for your presence.
Have your way in our
yes,
lives,
thank
God.
You,
we
thank
say yes, God.
Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for all of those, Lord God,
you,
that prayed over
bless
our
name,
lives
Lord.
This morning,
bless
Lord God.
Name,
yes, Lord.
That spoke
thank
your
you,
word
Jesus.
Into our spirit, Lord God,
yes,
through
Jesus.
Our hearing, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
We love you, God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, how we bless you.
Yes.
And Lord, we just thank you for this day.
Jesus.
And Lord,
yes.
As we walk into love, life, and victory, Lord, we just ask that you would bless us throughout the remainder of this day. Lord, we just pray that you would give us travel and get grace and guide us safely back to our homes and back to our loved ones, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just pray that the words and the discussion that we hear today will motivate us and encourage us to use our voice, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that you will just continue to help us trust you more, to lean on you more, to speak to you more, to stand in you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
And when life gets weary, when life gets hard, dear Lord, help us to sit still and just think on you and talk to you and be with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you
thank
and we
you.
Love you, Heavenly Father.
Yes, God.
And if there's any doubt in our hearts, of trusting you, Lord, we just ask and pray right now that you would just give us extra faith and extra trust.
Yes.
And not to trust in man, but to trust in you, Lord.
Lord.
And Lord, when it gets rough, let us not doubt, Lord. Please let us not doubt, Lord, in you, Father.
Yes,
because
God.
You are the creator of all things. You are the creator. You are the beginning. You are the end, Lord. And we love you. And we are grateful, Lord.
Thank you, God. It is food to our soul. Lord God, I just thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Declare Victory. My name is Deborah, a.k.a. Bubby, and I am your host this morning. Are there any new callers that may have joined the line since we started? If so, would you like to say good morning? Okay, if there isn't any new callers this morning, are there any victors that joined the call after we got started, that would like to say good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Patrice.
Hey, Pretty Patrice. And who else is that?
Good morning, it's Catherine. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, good morning, it's Catherine.
Good morning, it's Cindy.
Hey,
morning,
Cindy.
Good to hear your sound.
Good morning, good.
You love God.
Good morning, it's Tanya.
Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning,
family. This is Ruth.
Hey, Ruth.
Good morning,
morning Ruth.
Morning, Ruth. Anyone else?
Good morning, Victory family. Brother Jeff.
Hey, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, it's Imani.
Good morning, Imani.
Anyone else? All right, but before I pass the call, I just want to remind those who may have joined the call late that we are reminded that the production team will be having a meeting immediately following the call today. And if, once again, if you have not joined the team but feel you have something to offer, please join us. Thank you, Sister Lisa, for that message, that reminder that God's Word is what it is. It stands all by itself. And thank you for sharing with us how you do what you do. I'm grateful for what you do and how you do it. Every single time you open up your mouth, I am inspired. I thank God for you. And I'm going to pass the call to you. Be blessed, everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Bubbly. Amen. Love you to life. Thank you again, me, Mary, and Bubbly, and Brother Eric, and Sister Diane, and Barbara, and Tiffany, and JC, excuse me, for everybody just playing their part, and even those that opened your mouth for collective praise and collective prayer, because nobody can tell it like you can, and offer up your own prayer before God, even if you don't give it to us. You know, he knows our thoughts are far off, even before we speak them. He's just an amazing, amazing God. So my declaration, a couple of things. First of all, thank you for just allowing me to share. It's such a honor, really it is, and a privilege to exercise what I believe God has put in me. And for those of you that don't realize it, and we've been saying it since we've been talking about, you know, the importance of sharing, that it is absolutely a great place to exercise your gift, not like you're practicing, but anytime you do it, the more that you do it, I won't say the more proficient, but really the more proficient we become in it as we do it even more. And I kid you not, I have been doing this a little more than 2 years now, I think. Not really sure. But that even prepared me for standing before my congregation. So everything is working together for our good. I remember a time when I used to go to my church in Oakland, and I was living in Modesto at the time, and that was like an hour and a half commute almost. I was there faithfully, and people was like, "You're doing too much. Why are you always at the church?" And blah, 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 blah. Don't tell people that. You don't know what God is doing in their lives, you know, and I was okay. They understood it. They was feeling sorry for me. Some was just in my business, didn't have no business being in my business, but some were like, really, you're on the road a lot or whatever. But I was really graced to travel, and what I didn't realize, but I understood, it was an opportunity to learn. I had been in so many ministries and involved in so many different ministries, from Healthy Temple, which I'm still a part of because I'm a nurse, and with ministers and altar workers and, you know, doing whatever it is, learning the function of the church, really, I guess, in church. I'm learning what goes on in church. And little did I know God would use me to help start a church here today. You know, all of that I had learned, teaching foundation school, and I ended up on the call as a result of one of my foundation students, Chanel. Praise God. But it was all orchestrated and designed by God, and immediately, I kid you not, I should have put this in my declaration, but I didn't for whatever reason. I had to go to that first party. I don't know what it was. I got lost. Normally, if I get lost, I ended up going over to San Quentin, over across the wrong bridge. While I was on my way, I prayed for them, went back and got my $5 back. And ended up going to Vallejo to go to Dion's house, and it was a trip, and she can attest to this. When we saw each other, it was like, okay, you had to be here for whatever reason. God is up to something. I don't know what it is, but this is an appointment. It's an assignment. So here we are, what, two odd years later, going on three or whatever. Look at God. so I had to get that out. Another disclaimer, thank you so much, Pastor Lavelle. I love it when I said I wasn't sure about who had almost persuaded Paul to be a Christian, and it was King Agrippa. And I had said Felix, but he was a governor, and he had listened to Paul. And Paul told him, you can find this all out in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and 26. Felix had been talking to Paul several times on several occasions as a governor within the span of about 2 years. Never said he was converted, but he kept conversing with Paul, and he kept sending for him and having conversations with him. But it was King Agrippa who, after Paul gave his testimony, he was like, do you believe in the prophets? I know you believe. He said, Paul, you almost got me. I almost became a Christian. Okay, had to throw that out there. Thank you so much, Pastor Lavelle, for that. Did not want to give out any false information. All right. Hopefully something was said that was a little bit different than what's already been shared by our amazing Declare Victors prior to me. Did anything that I shared, was it unclear, or do you have any questions, or does anybody have anything to share? First of all, let me ask Dee Dee, are you ready to read what you have, sis?
Yes, sister, amazing share. Declaration or whatever. Hold on, y'all. Let me put my glasses on. This little 35-year-old girl having trouble with her vision lately. Let me say, this whole week has just blessed me. I know I shared with you guys before that I'm taking a Living Faith class from my pastor, which initially was supposed to be a 6-week session, and then on Wednesday he told us we got 4 more weeks. So amen, because mm-hmm. it's blessing me. But I was reminded, he's been talking about sharing your stuff and the way you present it, and in reminding us all that God never wastes anything. He would not give us the abilities, the interests, talents, gifts, personalities, our life experiences unless he intended to use them for his glory. And then I've been also reading Rick Warren, and he has a whole series on it. He says, but I'll just read a little bit of it. It says, before God created you, he decided what role he wanted you to play on earth. He planned exactly how he wanted you to serve him, and then he shaped you for those tasks. You, me, us, we are the way we are because we were made for a specific ministry. The Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's Ephesians 2:10. So we have to be reminded that we are handwork. We are handcrafted work of art, not an assembly line product, mass-produced without thought. We are kind, custom-designed, one-of-a-kind original masterpiece, which means God deliberately shaped and formed us to serve him in a way that makes us unique. None of us are going to be the same. Our DNA is mixed, created uniquely. David praised God for the incredible personal attention to detail God gave to each one of us. So I just wanted to share that part and just remind us that we were all made delicate inner parts of our bodies knit together in our mother's womb. So I'm just grateful, Lisa, for you and for every other declarer on this line for this series on it, and just be mindful that we were wonderfully made to be different, to reach those that we can reach. So our declarations, heart shares, whatever we choose to title them, will bless God's people. That's it. I wanted to just share that little piece, sister, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Dee Dee. Thank you for sharing that awesome, awesome reference. And I just praise God for your pastor. He's like, we're not done yet. That's amazing.
Imagine my face. I'm like, hold on, what you said? And then mom was going to spiritual authority on Monday night, so she was like, oh, mm-hmm. Jesus, too nice. But learning to be obedient, there's a reason for it. So
yeah. Absolutely, training ground so that you shall be equipped to do what it is that God is calling you to do. I love that. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you. And, we benefit from that because you bring us nuggets and you share. So, wow, look at God. He's just amazing that kind of way. Thank you. Anybody else have anything you'd like to share?
I would like to share. Hi, it's Tanya. Hey, sis. I remember a couple of weeks ago when I had to read the scripture on a Sunday, and one thing that I never do because I don't have people, and before I do anything, I like to consult with God as to which scripture he would like me to read for his people because they're not mine. And at the time I was studying a book, and I'm still reading it, called The Unqualified. And I remember reading, and I think on that Thursday, God said, this is what I want you to read on Sunday for your scripture. Where it wasn't a scripture, basically, it was just a list of qualifications on a lot of the people in the Bible who have been used by God were unqualified. And so he wanted me to read that, and I really struggled with it because it wasn't a scripture. And I remember coming to you and saying, Lisa, I don't know if I want to do this because it's not scripture. And what you said to me is just be obedient, and if God told you to do it, do it. And that gave me courage to do it. So as I read the scripture, and I know I heard God say to do this, and as I read it, I remember afterwards, and I got uncomfortable afterwards because I started doubting myself, is when Pastor LaBelle said, that wasn't a scripture, that was a quote. And so when I got off the phone, I really wrestled with that because I knew what I heard. I guess what I should have done, and the book did allow me to do it, which, like when Moses stuttered, I should have referenced the scripture to that. But I thank God. But now as I look and hear what has been taking place on the declaration with people feeling unqualified and people not sure and things that are taking place, I just bless God because it's like the tide has changed. There was a shift, and I saw it with what he had me to read. So I just thank God to just do what you're told to do, even when you're not comfortable, because even I even spoke to you about it. Should I go to Dion and tell her that God is giving me this to read because it's not a scripture? But I thank God for what you said today because it just really just it's confirmation. And I just thank God for being God. That's all.
You're so funny, girl. Amen. I didn't even know you said this is Tanya. And I was like, hey, sis. And I'm like, my sister, you don't even sound like you. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway, praise God, you know, and then what also I said was because we've been asked to do something, we have to be very careful when we're asked to do something and we're under another person's vision that we follow instructions. And I said you could have easily read that, and then, like you said, there were scripture references to that, and it would have still tied into you being obedient, just like I believe me, Mary, when she does her greeting, she likes to end with that scripture. It's you putting your own little whatever it is because God has placed it in you, and it blesses somebody. And it wouldn't have taken that much time, but it's still we have to learn. Sometimes people go rogue, and I know that's a concern, especially with some pastors. You ask them, I think it's been mentioned before, you ask somebody to get up and, you know, do something for 2 minutes, and they up there for 20 minutes. You know, they can't, because they, pastors, preachers, whomever, people who like to speak, when they get the mic, they just don't, you know, govern themselves accordingly. But being in order, because God is a God of decency and in order, but we got to be obedient. It's better to rather obey God than man. And you're right. Look at how that tied into all of us being able to share. And at some point, I don't know if anybody felt like, yeah, I could do this. I got this. Yeah, this is what I'm called to do necessarily, with that arrogance, you know, feeling unqualified and not feeling equipped. But when we come to the truth and realize what God has said in his word, that's contrary to those feelings, which aren't the truth, and they're not even fact. They might be fact, but they're not the truth. That's where we end up finding ourselves. Thank you. I call you Denise for sharing that. Appreciate that. Okay, anybody else? And was that clear? Does anybody need clarification on what was just said? So we have to be careful that we're not beating ourselves up and so critical. We're our own worst critics. It's something I don't even like to let me apologize. My declaration was a little bit long. I know it went over some. I'm sorry for that. We're our own worst critics, and I don't even like when I speak to go back and listen. But in a sense, that's kind of not good, because then you kind of are just relying on what people tell you about how you did, so you can't do your own self-critique. So I'm even learning to grow in that area, to go back and watch and see, you know, my body language, and maybe I have a mannerism that needs to be, you know, curtailed. Like, I speak with my hands a lot, especially when I get going. And I believe when the Holy Spirit starts moving, my hands just start going. That's what my girlfriend tells me all the time. But I don't really pay attention to it, but that could be distracting to an extent. So being able to be your own critic, but not to the extent of where you're criticizing yourself to quit. It's almost like that conviction and condemnation. You're giving, some people say it's not impossible, constructive criticism. How that's like opposites of each other. How can you do that? But giving yourself constructive critiques, then, if you will. And I think Tanya touched on this a little bit, receiving it from others, but also being able to do it yourself, listening to what you're saying by recording it and playing it back. I think Marcus said he did that. And like I said, I listened on my phone to my declarations. And even today, I have to admit, last night I was braiding a little girl's hair until like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had finished my declaration, but I wanted to go over it, and I really didn't, and I had little writings that were so small that I have to stop and read it real close. So sometimes you can tell when you don't have the time to really just go over it to the extent where you can sit it to the side and say, I could pretty much say that without even looking at the paper to an extent. I know I said a lot. Any questions about anything else that I shared? Or
hey,
any
Lisa.
Comments? Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is Dee Dee again. I just wanted to say, and I know this has been, I won't say a struggle, but something I had to realize too, that just like for me, I was raised in a Methodist church, and I now attend a non-denominational church. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that I had, I won't say to unlearn, because I take everything that I've learned as to, you know, as my foundation and strength. But even on the call, we all come from so many different backgrounds and denominations and beliefs, and even something as simple as, for me, when I go to churches that stand up when their pastor reads the word, I mean, there's certain, it's just so many different little twerks, and so we have to just not let the little twerks throw shade into our declare victory, if that makes any sense. Not to say that, you know, how, what Tanya just shared, I understood it. Because if you pay attention throughout the course of the calls, usually 7 days a week, everybody's different. Even Barbara's beautiful how she delivers her prayer, because she adds a scripture or she does something similar to, as well. So we all are just unique, and I'm glad she brought that up so that that won't discourage anyone else, because there's people that just they're different in the way they bring forth, and you're right, there is order. So we have to be mindful, but we also, like you said, we don't want to be overcritical to make people, turn people away. And it also ties to church to me again, because that's why me being a greeter, and I see so much at that front door that I know God's placed me there, because I'm like, wait. I'm like, how do you say, I try to make things right, because I have literally walked people to their car that were leaving because maybe the usher says I'm wrong, or, you know, so that's all. If that makes sense, I don't know. I just try to let people not be, because as you grow, you'll learn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And giving people freedom to be themselves right where they are, realizing that God accepts them right where they are, and God is yet changing them into who they shall become. Beautiful. If we could only learn that. Anybody, thank you, Dee Dee, anybody have any self-criticism going on that you have the power to speak about today? Anybody? And I know that's a hard question, but, I mean, is anybody over cynical or critical of themselves, and not necessarily in a good way, or maybe it's a good way, or maybe it's a bad way? Anybody would like to share that? Or can you share that, please?
Yeah, hello, Sister Lee. This is our brother Eric.
Hey, brother.
A wonderful declaration, and I know we've been talking about giving declarations. And I just wanted to compliment you, because you, in a sense, I think, took everything that went this week and tied it all together. I think that if you needed to, that should be written down, what you did, because I think that's almost kind of like a manual. But if I wanted to do something, I wanted to say the sound of my voice and what you were talking about, I came back because I remember I don't listen to my declarations. I've only done a few, but I remember one time my wife, she replayed it, and I was listening to the sound of my voice. I was like, ah. I said, I didn't know I sounded that low, and you know, sometimes my accent, too. And I'm very conscious about my accent. I used to have even a heavier accent than this from being from Brooklyn. But I know when I moved to New Jersey, I was teased so much about it that I really worked diligently on trying to, like, keep that out of my tongue. But every once in a while, it kind of creeps in, and it's still kind of there. But, it's those little things. It's those little things. But I think that a person who really has a passion for, people of God and really has that calling, and when you find your calling and everything, I believe passion is the cornerstone in everything. And that pushes you to really, examine yourself and want to be better. Because, when I get those aha moments or when I have something that I know God has placed on my heart, that I want everybody to learn that. I want everybody to get that aha moment. I want everybody to, excuse the background.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm even right now up here at the school because I got to get some supplies for my church. But that's it. A wonderful declaration. And I wanted to say this too. We talked about nervousness. And everybody gets nervous. And I just think about the Bible when we talk about Moses. Felt like he couldn't because he stuttered, and even Isaiah said, "I'm a man with unclean mouth," and Jeremiah, and I think that's a natural thing because we all want to get it right. We all want to be sure that we're worthy vessels, but the important lesson is that even though we get nervous, we don't allow that to stop us from doing what God wills in our lives. So that's all I wanted to say, and once again, thank you for the excellent declaration. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Eric. It's funny how we try to cover up those very little things that God wants to use in us to make us unique and different and stand out, like Dee Dee was talking about, those quirks. And you're trying to hide an accent that people wish they had, because you were teased about it. And it's something that, the very thing that the enemy has taken for bad, God will turn that thing around and work it out for our good and for his glory, because he already knows. So those things we shy away from, I know this is speaking to somebody right now, those things we shy away from, those little bitty quirks, those little things that, oh, yeah, that's Lisa, that's her right there. Those things that are markedly identifiable and that aren't bad. They're just different. Is our uniqueness is something that, that helps us to stand out and not get lost and consumed in the multitude, masses of people. So embrace your little, not little, embrace your differences, embrace who you are, if they're not contrary to the Word of God, of course. Thank you, Brother Eric, for sharing that. I know people that try to have fake accents all the time and wish they could, sound like they're from someone else. And then you spoke about passion. I didn't know that. I knew I loved to learn. I love to learn. I would probably be a professional student if I had time, and I've been trying to get back, and I just been dragging my feet. Okay, being pimped by procrastination, Valerie. But I love to learn, and after I learn, I want other people to, experience what I have, and not everyone is like that, but there are some people that don't have access, and if I have access to get it and God gave it to me, then he gave it to me to get it through me. That's with everything, with money, with abilities, with his gifting, whatever. He's given it to us to get it through us, that we're conduits, that we're vessels. We're also messengers. We're carriers. We didn't write the message. We just carry it and deliver it. Thank you, Brother Eric. Anybody else?
Hey, Lisa.
Yes. Hey, Cassandra. What's up?
I was in your declaration and your question, and you made me think about when I used to teach Sunday school at Axe. They wanted me to, I wanted to get into Sunday school to teach, and I thought I would. I wasn't sure what group they would put me in. They said, "We want you to teach 15 to 17. I was like, "Oh my God, they're going through puberty. I don't want to teach 15 to 17-year-olds." But they put me in the class with the 15 to 7-year-olds, and it was my first day teaching them, and I thought I could kind of like scan over the lesson and teach them. That first day, I went in there, I did that. You should have seen the way they were looking at me. I said, "I'll never do that again." I got into my Bible, I studied. And those 2 years were the best 2 years, you know, that I had, because it challenged me to get into the Word more.
Yes.
You know, you could tell that the kids were, you know, receiving. You know, I challenged them with questions to make sure they understood, but it was the best. But I remember later in Sunday school, when I was teaching Sunday school, they brought a new person that was actually Roz. They brought Roz in. Mm-hmm. And so in my teaching skills, they put her in the same class as me. And when she came to the class, she did things a little bit differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of bothered me because it challenged me even more, right? And I was like, dang, her stuff is tight. I thought my stuff was tight, but her stuff is tight.
Right.
And during that time, because he brought her in and she was doing so well, it was some things going on in my life. I said, okay, it's time for me to go ahead and step down and do something different. And I did it. But also when I look back, you know, I've learned to step up to the challenge instead of stepping down from the challenge to see what I can learn from it. Because even sometimes, you know, we're in positions, maybe somebody's on the phone, they may teach a little different or do things a little bit different. But it can sometimes make you step back and question yourself. But the greater skill is to learn what you can from that person, but keep your individuality and do you. But glean what you can, you know, from that person. And I find that's one of the greatest lessons, because sometimes I find, you know, with people, especially you're in a teaching position,
mm-hmm.
is that sometimes when people are coming in, they may be studying more, they're getting into the Word more, so their presentation is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you question yourself, but I believe that God's asking us to come up to the challenge to see what you can glean from that particular person.
That's really good, and it's funny because, thank you, Cassandra, because I know you. You're very structured and meticulous, and I know Roz, she's like over the top. She's creative. She's like in your face. So I can see how you're like, whoa, and both of you being very effective in what you're doing, right, but having different approaches, different techniques. Same word, same God. Same message, but just delivered, packaged up a little bit and delivered differently. And that speaks to the relevancy of the church. I think, you know, there's a very fine line with crossing the line and trying to gain the youth. But there's also, you know, a point of being relevant. And unfortunately, so many people have tried to be so relevant that they look like the world, so many churches. That's not my call. But I know that's a very fine line because, you know, as times change, the Word hasn't changed. It's still the same Word that convicts, that that saves, that cleanses, that heals. It's still that same Word that's able to cut. But yet add balm, add salve, that heals at the same time. So not losing the message, but changing the method. You look at Jehovah's Witnesses, they are at the door faithfully knocking, and they believe what they say. And not only do they believe, but they know what they're saying. They have studied their truth. It's not our truth altogether. But they know, and they've studied, and they put in the work now because they believe they have to for their salvation. Thank God. We don't have to work for our salvation. Amen. All right. Thank you, Cassandra. That reminded me of some things. Anyone else have anything to share?
Hi, Lisa. It's Moni.
Hey, Moni. Thank you for
this. Good morning.
Appreciate you.
You know, thank you. I'm blessed to have been able to hear you today. I'm hiding in the bathroom at the hotel, but because I'm in LA, I don't want to wake them up. But I just needed to tell you that, you know what, there truly is a blessing in serving, especially on the call. I mean, in whatever magnitude that you feel pulled, because we're all being pulled. It's just a matter of, are you listening? Are you going to be obedient? And you know, no one, not one of us can say, well, he ain't calling me to read scripture, or he's not calling me to you know, even as little as picking up the phone and calling a sister from the call or a brother that's on the call and just encouraging them. You know, he's calling all of us. He truly is. And it's really up to us if we're going to listen to that call, you know. And the good part about it is there's such a huge blessing out of it. You know, we're so worried. Oftentimes we're worried about, are we going to bless the other person? Are they going to hear? Are they going to understand me? You know, I'm not too good to, you know, I'm not a good communicator. It's not going to work. But what God really sometimes is doing is he wants to bless us in it. He wants to bless us in it. So, like, it's like, how do you feel when you're walking down the street and you give a homeless person, you know, a dollar or a few dollars, you know? You think you're blessing them, but you know what? You walk away feeling so empowered and blessed and just wonderful, and you're able to usher in more blessings when you do that. So that's really, you know, it's so important to serve and just know that, you know what, you know, I'm going to listen, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to, I know I'm going to be blessed for this, and just strive, because, you know, we can't just be listeners. We can't just be a fly on the wall and keep getting fed, and not give nothing back, because God wants us to open up and grow. And how can we do that if we're not going to try little and then grow from there and get bit and then go to the next level? We all got a testimony. We all got a story. We all got, even if it's just one story, we got a story, and somebody needs to hear it. Maybe not all of us, but you know, there's going to be one little thing in there that the rest of us can pull out. So you can be sure of that, right?
Yeah.
You know, so you know, we all. It's very scary, but you know, if you just take that step, God will come through. He will show up, and he will work through you. But trust me, none of this is coincidental. Everything is happening for a reason. None of it's just coincidental. Oh, that's just so happens to be. No. God is ordaining it. He is touching somebody right now on the call, and he is telling them, you better open up your mouth. You better open up your mouth. You better get something ready. Get a piece of paper and a pen. Start writing down your story, because, girl, you went through it for a reason. You didn't go through it in vain. You went through it because somebody needs to hear your story. When you were 10 years old, that way that you felt when you were 10, somebody else is feeling the same way, or somebody else's child is feeling the same way. Somebody else's neighbor's feeling the same way. Better open up your mouth. So you got to start getting ready. Have a pen and paper by your bed starting today, because you know what? God wants you to start writing down something, and it might take you a month to write it down, but every day start writing a little bit down, because somebody needs to hear you. That's all.
Amen. You are the right person for the job, Moni. You are passionate about people being able to come forth and do, bottom line, what God has put in us and called us to do. And anything short of that, I'm sorry, is disobedience. We are vessels. We're simply pottery or clay in the master's hand for him to mold and shape as he sees fit, and be able to bring forth as he presents us before the light, as he presents us before the world, present him and bring forth what he's put in us to get to the people, just simply being messengers. And you know, it's amazing how we always quote our scripture out of Revelations 12:11, and they overcame him, who, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, but we don't finish it. And they loved not their lives unto death. Meaning they weren't so consumed and concerned about what man can do to this flesh. It was like, if I go, I go. I don't love this so much that I'm holding on to it, that it's going to keep me. What is the fear from? Fear of losing ultimately what, our lives? Fear of losing position or status? Fear of losing, I don't know, we're not going to lose our minds. Fear of losing our clout, losing. What are we fearful of losing when we know that when we work for him, it's gain? There will be opposition, yes. Had to bring that out. There will be the enemy trying to come up against us. But what we do for him is only going to last, and it's for his glory, and that's why we're still here. And that's why I believe he had to give me Ephesians 4. That I am here, and he's called me and gifted me to equip the body. I know we go out into the masses, into the world, but when you get them in the church, I can't tell you how many people are if I could say this, appear to be going to hell from the pews. Or they're hurting and dying while they're sitting in the church. We talk about it all the time. And they're in there to equip the body. We are the body. To equip and edify and build up and strengthen the body. Why? So not that we can become fat like a lake and just take all in and just hold it and never do anything with it. We talked about that stagnant water. But be a river flowing out into that big giant ocean. Because if we're stagnant, if we're stuck, if we're just getting fat and getting poured into and not releasing, not being conduits for things to flow through us, then and we're hoarding it all, then what good does that do except make us great? But then a lot of knowledge will only puff us up, will lead to pride. I mean, there's so many traps that the enemy tries to set for us. So as we release, that's why we pray sometimes when people minister or speak or preach, God, pour back into them as they have poured out. Now, it's a really sad thing if you're continually pouring out and you're never being poured into. Got to watch that too. That's dangerous. Constantly giving, 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 and no one's giving into you. Constantly giving blood and never being the recipient of a transfusion yourself. It's dangerous. Don't know how I got there, but somebody needed to hear that. Amen. Thank you, Moni. Anyone else have anything to say? So glad you got that stretch out. I know that felt good.
Amen.
Hallelujah ministry for that, young.
All right. That was one of them down in your ooh, bones, feel it. Okay.
Hold on. Was that me? I thought I was on mute.
No, brother, you got on mute.
You
got
not working.
No, no, we hear you. We hear you.
I felt it. I did. Amen.
Oh,
but we thank God.
Yes.
Amen.
That's my
God.
Didn't
let
nothing
out. Oh,
he dropped the bomb on all of us.
Didn't he, right?
He was called. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh,
boy.
Amen. Look, you guys, and I went to the door to see where he was at, right? He's downstairs in the garage doing all that. I'm trying not to wake nobody up in the house, so I come down here in the garage, and I must have took my phone off of mute because I had intended to speak, but I thought I was on mute. So, but let me go ahead and share what I want to share.
Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Jeff.
Good morning, Victory family. I love you guys. And I really wanted to share that I thank those that prayed this morning because I really felt your prayers. And I just love it when I could feel someone's prayer and receive it in a personal way. And I just thank you guys for everyone that prayed this morning. And including me in your prayers. And I just want to say thank you. I really felt your prayers this morning. Lisa, you shared a couple of things that really stood out for me. And I hate it when I can't remember. It was the last two things that you spoke at the end of your declaration. But in before that, you spoke about using different books for references, mm-hmm. and how that the Webster Dictionary is not always the best thing, and it'd be good to have a Bible dictionary.
Right.
And you know, you guys know that I struggle in the area of studying. But having that information to when I do begin to study, and that I would want to have the different tools that would allow me to learn and grasp and gain you know, better knowledge, you know, more so than just a Webster dictionary, you know. So I mean, you had so much meat in your share this morning. But I hate when I can't remember key, because I'm just grateful. You know, I'm coming up on an anniversary, y'all. Tomorrow will be 365 days I've been on this call. It'll be a year for me tomorrow.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God.
You know, so
I remember when you was counting this day 20.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. You know, yeah. So I just love this line, and I mean, I know I'm growing. I am true, and that's one thing that's beautiful within itself, to know that I have grown since I've been on this call, and I'm just looking forward to the future, and I believe, I have faith that one day I will step up and do a declaration on the morning call. So thank you for your share this morning, Lisa.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jeff. And you know, we have the playback so that you can go back and listen to it. And I've actually gone back and listened to some of my stuff, like Brother Eric was saying, just to hear how I'm sounding. Because I remember when I first started, it wasn't my first, opportunity to share anything with anyone. But on the phone, it was a little different. So I could remember Dion telling me, you know, you go flat sometimes, you know. And I can remember even talking, and then I'll just go low as I'm in finishing a sentence. And it's kind of like sounding like I'm going flat, and I wasn't really even paying attention to that. But when she pointed it out, I listened, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. That whole going fast when I get excited, God, just going to have to do something with that, because I'm like, it's in my head. If I don't get it out, it ain't going to come out. I don't know. But, yeah, even working on those things, you know, we still have, you know, to exercise that self-control, and the spirit is subject to the prophet, meaning, you know, that God will give us you know, the ability to do whatever he has given us to do, and we should strive to do it with excellence, because he does nothing less than excellence. In fact, that word doesn't even describe what he does. But thank you, Brother Jeff. I appreciate you. And you can, the last couple of things I was talking about was watching our voice tone and the cadence, how fast we're going or how slow we're going, and then our flow. And then I think the other thing was being kind to yourself and not being so cynical or too critical, and that we'll have opposition. We will. Another thing I want to bring out really quickly is that commitment, and I think Moni touched on it a little bit. You know, if we commit to doing something, that we do it. We do our work as if we're doing it unto the Lord. That we do what he's called us to do. And if we can't make a commitment, that we communicate, you know, that. Because people are really depending on you showing up. They're depending on us showing up. If I just felt like sleeping in on a Saturday morning, it wouldn't stop the call, but it would interfere, and it would interrupt, and it would really be a stab against my credibility, if you will. If I say I'm going to do something, I really try to my best to do it. And if I can't, sometimes we overextend ourselves, or sometimes we have to know when to say no, or we have to know when a season ends. That is so key. You have to know when a season of a thing ends, because everything is not meant forever necessarily. And there's times where things change in our lives, and we have to be able to hear the voice of God so that we can make the transition, and we're not holding on to things where the anointing has left us from, or where the time of the season is just up. Saul was king, but his anointing had left him long before he left that position. That's another declaration. All right. anyone else? It's 8:08. Oh. I know we're a little over.
Alisa, I have a quick question before you leave.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
In reference to your speaking,
mm-hmm.
I've seen you speak on occasions on the phone in different places where you have to speak before, go before people, where I know for me it would probably make me nervous that, oh, I can't, you know, can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one day, I think it was on the phone, it was Pastor Goy, and it was some, and I think Pastor Hutchinson, maybe Pastor LaVell, but it was a discussion going on on the line,
mm-hmm.
and they were sharing, you know, information. But I was so amazed, because in your speaking, in the conversation, just your boldness, you know, your confidence, and you brought, like, a calm to the conversation. So my question is, how do you find that you're able to do that when you have to stand before somebody, say, like, you know, maybe if you had to speak before Pastor Bob or, you know, someone where it may make someone else feel a little bit more timid or may be intimidating, but to be able to go forth, you know, with a boldness in the midst of that?
No, that's a great question. You know, a couple of things come to mind that the apostles, they had to pray for a boldness. Encouraged to go forth and speak. They absolutely had to. When the Lord Jesus Christ was killed, they were scattered. They were gone. They were scared. So that having that confidence is not like all automatic. So praying for that and praying for the Holy Spirit, he's the one that gives us power, boldness, ability to be a witness. That's what he does. He gives us that power to be that witness, a witness for him. And then at some point, you got to know to follow the lead, follow the leader. I'm very clear about the direction of the call that Dionne has established that has been given to her by God. And I've watched her as the leader of this call be a mediator between things when we get into areas of denominationalism or doctrines or stuff like that, because it's not our job to, like Tanya said yesterday, present our doctrine. That's not what the call is for. So understanding what your role is, where you are in your role. And understanding really the vision of the leader, like following your pastor. Understanding if you spend time with them, if you hear them and hear their heart, you'll see when they're not there. That's why Dionne talks about the call going on if she's not here. You'll see if they're not there, the call just continues to roll on. So listening and paying attention to the flow of things. And first of all, knowing that, you know, God didn't give us, he didn't want disorder or disruption, but being a mediator. We're called to be peacemakers. Blessed are those. And so to the best of our ability, people have their own strong, dominant, dogmatic doctrines and beliefs. But I believe if they cause division, there's a problem because they're not meant to divide us. Yes, we can have different differences and opinions on some things. That's why we have different denominations. But they're not meant to divide us, especially on essential things like Jesus Christ is the only way to God and he is Lord with that. So just first of all, believing that it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to do that. And the more that you begin to use your voice, the more you begin to be empowered by that voice. Because you're speaking your truth. And when you speak your truth in love, I don't believe it should be done arrogantly because people know. But when you speak your truth in love, and another thing, we got to have a love for God's people. We do, and I know we do on this call because we love each other. But you got to have a love and a heart for God's people. I believe, you know, David being a man after God's own heart, that's why he did so many great things. He loved God. When nobody saw him, he was on the backside of the mountain loving God, writing love songs to him. That prepared him to go before the king and soothe him with those evil spirits. I think Brother Eric or somebody mentioned that yesterday. Hope that answers your question, Cassandra. And I'm sure
yes, it
other victors that will share will be able to touch on those things too. But, yeah. So another thing about being on the phone, it could be five people on here or it could be 5,000. I don't know, and I don't think about it. I don't call and find out who, how many, whatever. It ain't my job. That ain't whatever. Just do what I told you to do. I try to remind myself that God is saying that to me because I have to stand before him. You have to stand before him and give an account for what has been placed in your hands. What did you do with it? Amen.
Amen.
All right. Anything else? Anybody? 813. Sorry, you guys.
It's okay. Sister Lisa, I love you.
Love you too, pretty Patrice.
Thank you. And thank Amen. Everyone that shared this morning. I'm just taking it all in because it's coming out.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
It is coming out, yes. And you'll be surprised and yet amazed at the hidden treasures that you have on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit as God reveals it. Because eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Come on now. So it has to come out because it's in you, because he's in you. Love you out to life. Have a wonderful Sabbath Saturday day. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Thank
love
you. Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you too, everybody. Production team, you can stay on the line. I'll just turn the recording off. Hi, sister.